Jason.
Thanks, Jason. Turn our Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. I will be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 from verses 5 to 10. The Bible reads, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather around your word, and I just pray for your blessing to be upon it. Let's pray, Spirit of God, that you'll lead and guide and really speak to our hearts and help us, Father, just to respond in a way which is pleasing to you. For it's in Jesus' name we do ask. Amen. Verses 2 and 3, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father." The letter is addressed to the Thessalonians in verse 1, it's from Paul and Silvanus, which is Silas, and Timotheus, which is Timothy, and he's addressing the letter to them, and he gives thanks to God always for them. And he makes, always keeps them in remembrance. And three things that he says, he specifies in verse 3, in remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope. And he goes on further down and he says in verse 9 and 10, we see specifically what the church at Thessalonica did. First of all, we see that their work of faith, in verse 9, he says, how you turn to God from idols. And their labor of love is to serve the living and true God. And their patience of hope was to wait for his Son from heaven. So we see that these connections from verse 3 and their application and how the church of Thessalonica acted out what Paul was commending them for. And let's go, please, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, we see the gospel being introduced to the church there at Thessalonica. And Paul and Silas, in the end of verse 1, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Thessalonica was the capital city of Macedonia. And it would be like Paul, he would go to the cities of each town and he would just preach the gospel. And here in verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And we see from verse 4, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." So we see that the gospel was preached and many people believed there at Thessalonica. And he goes on and it says, "But the Jews which believed not," in verse 5, "moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, and crying," watch this, what they said, "these that have turned the world upside down, and come hither also. The testimony that was given for Paul and Silas, the testimony from a man who was a Jew, a devout Jew, obviously, and a rejecter of the gospel, he said that these that have turned the world upside down have come into this place. They're here. So just imagine that testimony. How good would that be if it could be said of our church that? That's fantastic. And Paul had to leave, and Silas had to leave, we see in verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas. By night, unto Berea, who coming hither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. And we know that many in Berea believed as a result of that. And if we go to 1 Thessalonians back there, please. I want to lay the foundation. So we see that the gospel came there to Thessalonica, and the Thessalonians believed. I want to read verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And here he said, for our gospel, the gospel that I preached, it didn't come to you just as word only, but it came in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know those men that testified that these ones that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. They didn't understand that it wasn't the men that did it. It was the power behind the men, the Holy Spirit behind the men that caused the word of God just to go forth and spread throughout the world. And we get to understand here that these men just saw these Jews, devout Jews, just saw the men. They just saw Paul and Silas, but they didn't understand the God behind the man, the God behind the man. And tonight I want to ask you a question. If God said tonight, I want to use you, I want to use you to turn Sydney, Australia upside down for the cause of Christ. Will you be fit? Are you a fit vessel? Or is there things in our lives, brethren, that hinder God being able to use us? And that is a sad, sad description, because who else is God supposed to use other than His people? Other than His people. What will be the answer tonight to that question? First Thessalonians in verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. I want to look at three things that hinder the work of the Spirit in our lives. Three things that hinder the work of the Spirit in our lives. And it wasn't evident in the lives of the church in Thessalonica, but it was, Paul didn't condemn them for it, but he said he actually commended them for it. And we're going to just draw the principles out from here, from verse 9. First of all, we see that, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. First thing I want to look at is what hinders the work of the Spirit in our lives is our loyalty to idols. Our loyalty to idols. Here he says that Paul commends them that they turned to God from the idols. But do you know what it is that hinders the work of the Spirit in our lives is idolatry. Is idolatry. And maybe we're not bowing down to statues and we're not worshipping idols. But the thing is, we have made idols in our hearts and in our lives. And we say, God, why aren't you working? God, send a revival. God, change Australia. God, help us to lead people to Christ. But we're allowing idols in our lives, brethren. And God sees that as sin. In Exodus chapter 20, in the Ten Commandments, God says that thou shalt have no other God before me. How many gods do you have before God tonight? Before the true and living God, how many gods do you place before Him? And you know the thing is, with idolatry, it is a sin that leads to a downward spiral to other sins. It just doesn't begin at idolatry and just stop there. Once you have other gods within your heart except for the God, one true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, my friend, you will fall deeper and deeper into sin. Forms of idolatry today, materialism, money, what about position? Having all the alphabet after your name and having that title. We always, as Christians, we shouldn't be going for those things because we shouldn't be making them our God. If it's God's will for you to go and do that, praise the Lord, that's great. But as soon as that takes position of the Lord, as number one, before the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, you've made that an idol in your heart. Sports, fashion, people, famous people. You know what? It's a shame that Christians can speak more and know more about celebrities than they know about Jesus Christ. It's a shame. It's a shame, brethren. And idolatry is a sin. Idolatry is a sin. And what hinders the work of the Spirit in our lives is our loyalty to our idols. Our loyalty to idols. Let's go to chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Verses 1 to 5. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that you should suffer tribulation, even as it has come to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. You know, in chapter 1, verse 17, Paul's desire was that he would see the brethren. And verse 18, it says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Paul wanted to see the brethren there at Thessalonica, and he wanted to see how they were doing spiritually. And then he sent Timothy to go and see, he sent him to come back with a report and tell him how they were doing. And Paul, I believe, was afraid that these ones have forsaken the one true God and have gone back to idolatry. He said to them that, you know that we told you about the tribulation that you will suffer. We told you about all the heartache that you will suffer and all the trials that you'll go through. But at the end of the day, he just wanted to know whether they've gone, forsaken the true God, or they've gone back to idol worship. And it was easy for them on that day to go back to idol worship. Could you imagine in the community that they lived in that country, their loved ones and their friends all worshipped idols. And they made a stand for Christ and they said no to idols and they served the living and true God now. And then all of a sudden, they would have started to suffer persecution for that reason, for making a stand for Christ. But instead, they continued on. They continued to press on for the Lord. And we see, brethren, that idol worship, idolatry is hindering the work of the Lord. And we think that, do you know what it is? It's not sin. It's not sin sometimes. You know what it is? It's the good things in life. The things that we think are good. Like sport. There's nothing wrong with sport. There's nothing wrong with work. There's nothing wrong with friendships. What's wrong with that? Nothing. But when they start taking the place of God, there is everything wrong. And that becomes sin. And when that becomes sin, then you're living in disobedience to God, and that's going to hinder God's working in your life. How is God supposed to work in our life if we don't put Him first in our life? And we've allowed work, we've allowed friendships, we've allowed sports to take over our lives. Three things we're going to look at that hinder. And the first thing we see that hinders the work of the Spirit in our lives is our loyalty to idols. And brethren, it is a sin. And we need to repent. Because as soon as we have something before God in our lives, we're going to fall deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And we look and we go, where did we all go wrong? We went wrong when we put something else before God. Second thing we see, chapter 1, verse 9. How we turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. What hinders the work of the Spirit in our lives? Firstly, we see that our loyalty to idols hinders the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Secondly, what I want to talk about is our lack of genuine love. Our lack of genuine love. Here we see to serve the living and true God. They turn from idols to serve God. And you may say, what is service got to do with love? My friend, our love for God should motivate us to serve Him. Our love for God should motivate us to serve Him. If we don't serve God out of a heart of love for Him, do you know what it becomes? It becomes just a motion-driven service, motion-driven Christianity, where we just go through the motion, and the Lord doesn't like that. The Lord doesn't like when we get caught up in a system that doesn't even allow God to even be here anymore. It was said, a Chinese Christian once visited the United States and toured churches. And at the end of the trip, he was asked what he thought about America spiritually. And he answered, the Chinese missionary answered, and he said this, I'm amazed at how much the church in America can accomplish without the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's funny because we laugh because it's America. But how is it happening? It's happening in our day here in Sydney, Australia. That we are accomplishing things, we are coming to church and we are accomplishing the work of the Lord without the Spirit of God. And God looks at us in disgust. I truly believe that God looks at His people and He yearns and He mourns over us that we are living in idolatry and we're turning away from God and we're not even serving Him in a way which is pleasing to Him. It should break our hearts, brethren. It should. It should break our hearts the way that Christianity is going in our day. And as Christians, we need to make a stand. We need to put away our idols and we need to serve the living and true God. Amen. Just imagine the brethren there at Thessalonica that all of a sudden they got saved and they met the living and true God. And then all of a sudden they've put away all their idols and those people, those things that they used to pray to, those things they used to bow down to and worship, they no longer did. And they've come to a God who is living, who when they pray, He hears their prayers. And He answers their prayers. And a God that is living, that when they're actually going through trial and testings in their lives, do you know what? They feel peace. And they must be saying, wow, all my life I've been caught in bondage in worshipping these idols and I've met the living God. And all of a sudden they love that God so much that all of a sudden they want to do is just serve Him with their lives. You know what it is, brethren? With the problem why we have the problem why we struggle with surrendering our complete will to God, is our lack of love for God. Our lack of love for God. Our lack of genuine love to God. Do you know what? If you love somebody, think about it, husband. How much do you love your wife? I hope you love your wife. Yeah. How easy is it to sacrifice for them? How easy is it to do things to please them? The people that you love so much, it's easy to lay down your life for them because you love them. And as a Christian, how much do you love your God who laid down His life for you? How much do you love your God who laid down His life for you? Are you living a surrendered life? Or do you lack in this area of genuine love for God? Let's turn to chapter 4. A lack of genuine love, not only for God, but for the brethren as well. Here it says, but in verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it towards all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And here Paul is just encouraging the brethren that they increase more and more in love for one another. Their love for God, yes, but their love for their brethren, love for one another. And our lack of genuine love hinders the work of the Lord. It hinders the Spirit of God working in and through us. Romans, please. Turn to Romans. Our love for God should be the motivation of our service. And here we see Paul was a great example. He loved others. In Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. Romans 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He had a desire, he had a burden, he had a love. He had a love for the ones that he was trying to reach out to. My friend, do you love the lost tonight? Is the reason why we're not winning the lost how we should be? Is because we don't have a genuine love. We lack love. And you know, brethren, the love that we need to go out and witness to people, the love that we need only comes from God. And most of us lack genuine love. That's why the Spirit of God cannot work in through us. What hinders the work of the Spirit in our lives? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians back there, please. Brethren were motivated to serve God because God gave them a new life. Are you a new creature in Christ tonight? You know, we talk about what is hindering, the things that can hinder the work of the Lord. What can hinder the Spirit of God working in and through us. You know, my friend, if you are not a child of God, you have not the Spirit of God. The Scriptures teach that. And the Scriptures teach in Ephesians that after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and after that you believed and you received the promise that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So there's a believing in the gospel and a receiving of the gospel, and then after that you receive, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you tonight? Do you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you tonight? You know, it's a sad thing that we can get to heaven one day and we look around and we won't see many people that we know. Because it's not genuine. It's not genuine. And we say here, what hinders the work of the Spirit in our lives? What hinders? Maybe you don't even have the Spirit of God for the Spirit of God to work in and through your life. And the question, brethren, needs to be asked. The question needs to be asked. If you have the Spirit of God, what can hinder the work of the Spirit in our lives? It's our loyalty to idols. It's our lack of genuine love. And third thing we see, in verse 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Third thing that hinders the work of the Spirit in our lives is when we lose sight of eternity. First of all, it is our loyalty to idols. Second, our lack of genuine love. And when we lose sight of eternity. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. And if we go to chapter 4, verses 15, speaking of the wonderful day when we will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And what a comfort it is that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will return for His church, will return for His people, will return for those ones that are continued faithful and that have just accepted Him as Lord and Savior of their lives. And we have a hope, brethren. We have a hope. And do you know what hinders the work of the Spirit in our lives? Is when God's people lose sight of eternity. And we focus on today more than we focus on eternity. We focus on building our kingdom here on earth when we've lost sight of the kingdom in heaven that we're supposed to build. I was speaking to the teenagers the other week, and I said that we are short-sighted. Many Christians suffer with short-sightedness. They cannot see afar off. And the devil has distracted us. The devil has distracted us and placed things in front of us that we just totally focus on today and not focus on eternity. He wants to distract you. He wants to do everything that he can so that you can't see past here. You can't see past here. So all of a sudden you're just focused on today and all the cares and the worries and the burdens of today when you're not looking at the kingdom to come. When you're not focused on building what eternity and what the Lord expects of us to build His kingdom. The things that count, the things that last. Everything that we have here on earth, look around, is going to burn. It's going to burn. And we're so worried. We're so worried about everything today. We're so worried. We're so worried about our position, our reputation in regards to our job and all the rest of it. The cares of this world has sucked us up and it's hindering the Spirit of God working in and through us. Brethren, we need to be, as Christians, we need to be long-sighted. We need to be long-sighted. We need to focus on what eternity has and we need to focus on building. Listen, are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you ready to meet your Creator? Are you ready to give an account? If you stand before the Lord and give an account of your life, are you ready? Who is ready? How much work is there to be done? How much work is there to be done? And the Lord is just looking for a man, for a woman, for a child who would just say, use me, Lord. Use me. Take my life. Use me. Do whatever you want with me. I want to turn Sydney upside down, Lord. Use me. Use me. I read the Bible, and it's been so frustrating because I've been going through the Gospels and I'm going through the book of Acts now. It's been so frustrating because every time I read, I say, Lord, there is a deeper Christianity. There's something more. What is it? What is it? These people gave them all, their all to Christ and they followed Him. He was number one in their lives. And do you know what? The only thing that mattered was they just wanted to please the Lord. How about you tonight? Where does your loyalty lie? Is it light with the Lord? Is it, Lord, here's my life, use me? Australia is massive. I was driving the other day in the car with my dad and we were probably an hour away. And I was thinking in my mind, wow, Lord, Australia is massive. How many churches need to be planted? How many souls need to be won? And my dad turns around and he goes, and he just said to me, Australia is so big. And I was like, did I say that out aloud? And he's like, I was like, what are you talking about? I go, I was just thinking that in my head. And I said, man, how many souls, how many churches, how many men are needed to stand up and say no to this world and go forth for God? Sorry, I'm sharing my heart with you. And it's just been a massive burden on my heart. Massive. You just see the people walk past and chat with them on a Thursday night. And you think eternity. You think these people are dying and going to hell. My friend, are you going to die and spend an eternity separated from God? Are you? Or have you really, truly, genuinely accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You've repented of your sins and you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. That the Scriptures teach that you were born again at that point. Have you ever experienced the new life in Christ? Because if you haven't experienced the new life in Christ, you cannot go and tell people about the gospel. If you haven't really genuinely experienced it for yourself. And brethren, we need to experience the new life in Christ. And not only that, we need to take it one step further and we need to give our all to Christ and go and do something for the Lord. Give it all up. Give this world up. Give idolatry up and just surrender your life to the Lord and go forth and serve Him. I praise the Lord for the work that He is doing. But there is time is short, brethren. Time is short. And who's going to raise their hand and say, Lord, use me? And the problem is that we have hindered, as Christians, we have hindered the work of the Lord in our lives. We've become a hindrance that the Spirit can no longer work in and through us. Why? We've hindered the work of the Spirit in our lives is because we have, our loyalty lies in idols. Our loyalty lies in this world. Our loyalty lies in all these things other than God. Put aside your idols tonight, Christian. Lay it at the altar. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Repent of it because it's a sin and it's hindering God from working in your life. Second thing we looked at is our lack of genuine love. To serve the living and true God. That's what the Scriptures teach in 1 Thessalonians, that they put away their idols. They turned from their idols. They turned to God. And when they turned to God, they went forth and served God. Because He was the living and true God. You know, we would love God more if we realized who He was to us. We'll love Jesus more if we just reflect at His sacrifice that He made on our behalf. How truly it is true, it's just not a made up story, that God manifest in the flesh. God became a man and died on the cross to pay for my sins. How much easier is it, like, if you think and reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus made, we can love Him more so. Just reflect at what Jesus Christ truly did for us. That He left His heavenly home, all His glory, and He was never ever experienced sin in His life, as in the sense that He was never around sin, everything was perfect, and He came to earth, and He experienced it. I think just the sin around Him would have just made Him sick. He would have just thought, what is going on? But it would have motivated Him to go to the cross and say, I need to die for these sinners because I love them and I need to restore their fellowship that they once had with God the Father. And He made that sacrifice and He rose victoriously from the dead. What a God we serve. And He is the living and true God. And these ones in Thessalonica, they turned from idols. They put aside all their idols. And do you know what they did? They said, I'm going to serve the Lord because He's the true and living God. Amen. Are you serving the true and living God this evening? Our loyalty lies to idols. Our lack of genuine love and what hinders the work of the Spirit in our lives is when we lose sight of eternity. When eternity is no longer living in the sight, with eternity in sight, when we're just living for today, building up the houses for today, building up everything for today, and not focusing on what God wants us to build up. When we lose sight of eternity, brethren, the devil's got us by the hand. He has. He's got us by the hand and He's walking us. He's walking us and we think we're doing okay. He's holding us and He's leading us and He's saying, look at this problem here, look at this problem here, or look at this thing on earth, look at this, or you can do this, you can do this, look, you can do this, and put everything in front of us. And we want to just grab everything here and all we're doing is focusing on here and now and eternity is far away and we can't even see it. And every second, somebody's slipping into eternity. Every single second, millions are just passing into eternity. And we say, God, work. God work? But are you willing to put your hand up and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Do whatever you want with my life. Because please, brethren, time is running out. Australia is massive. The world is huge and people are dying and going to hell. And we have the gospel. We serve the living and true God. So whatever it is today, whether it's idolatry, whether it's your lack of genuine love, whether it's you've lost sight of eternity, my friend, repent of it. Repent of it. Surrender it all to the Lord and go forth and serve the Lord so that we may see souls saved and God's kingdom increase. Let's pray.